Mesechtes Barbasser, Daf Kuf Samach Ches, six lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Samach Zayin Rebeis, and the Gemara begins, Zahu Tavar Dav Chosu Malor, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, there was a receipt for a ksuba that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba signed on as a witness, Asal Kamei HaYisa, Amr Lei, Lava Nohavai. A while later, a woman came into Bezin, and she claimed that she didn't yet receive a ksuba, and her husband took out a receipt, and said, I have a sheva that was signed on by Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba. This woman claimed that the person that actually wrote that receipt was not me, and I never asked you to write this receipt, as I never received my ksuba, as Rashbam states, v'shem isha acheres sheshmo kishmi, v'shem balil kishem baili. Although it's true that my husband has a receipt, and it seems that I wrote this receipt, it's possible that a fraud was committed, and a different woman came in front of you, and you knew her, and you knew her husband, therefore you allowed her to write this receipt. L'maisa, her name was the same as mine, and her husband's name was the same as my husband's, and she went and potentially gave this shaver to my husband, and Lemaisa, that trying to defraud me, as Lemaisa, I never received my ksuba. Lemaisa, it makes sense that the Gemara brings this story, as although the Gemara actually had an issue previously, even when we knew the name of the husband and the name of the wife, and we had a question regarding a get, as potentially we had to be choshish for Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, Hadarim be'achas, Lemaisa, regarding a get, we stated that there was no issue, as Rav Acha bar Huna stated in the name of Rav, that Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, Hadarim be'achas, imigashin shesim, however, that teretz did not work regarding a sheva. Therefore, she is claiming that this actually occurred b'negei a sheva, and there were two husbands and wives in the same town that had the same name, and my husband is trying to defraud me. The Gemara continues, Omar, anonami amri lahu lav ihihi. Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba responded that I also turned to the other Eidim that signed together with me on this receipt, and Ein Rabbeinu Gershom, who says that he turned to his Talmidim, and he said that I also thought that this is not the same woman that actually came in front of me in order to write a receipt for her. Therefore, as Rashbam states, Vadin Ima, and therefore she's correct that she's being defrauded and she should be able to collect her ksuba. However, Biyami Ba'aba continues, Va'amuli, make sure the kashula ubagala kala, that these other Edim that signed together with me on the receipt and were there Bishas Maisa, or my Talmidim who were also there Bishas Maisa, they actually told me that you're really the same woman, and the reason why I don't recognize you is because you got older and your voice became deeper. And Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, who explained, the Lashon of Bagala is from the Lashon of Bagras, when a woman changes from being a Naira to an adult, and over here also, when she changes from being young to being older, voice changes. Therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba told this woman that L'maisa V'adini Mayim, they are correct, and this Sheva was a valid Sheva, and you already received all the money that you're entitled to for the Yuxuba. Gemara continues, Om Abaya, and Abaya stated, Afag Abda Om Rabbanon, Kivin Shigat Shuvay, although the Rabbanan taught us a klal based on Psukim that once an aid says testimony, he can't be chayza, and L'chayra Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba originally said that he actually thought that she was correct and she really never came in front of him and she wasn't the woman that told him to write the shayva. However, in this case, we allow Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba to change his opinion, as Sur Rabbanan love Urch L'medek, as since he's a Talmud Chacham, and it's not normal for him to be medak in an isha and to actually recognize her when she comes in front of him a second time. We continue on Daf Kuf Samach Chesamad Aleph, and Rashbam states, Tzurim Rabbanan Kugoyin Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba Lav Da'akei Lemidek Ulahakei B'Noshim Kolkach Va'agoda Kamaisa She'omad Lav Ihi Lav Klumi V'loi Mikri Choyzu Magi B'ma She'omad L'Besoif That At He Elish Neshtana Koylech The Kivin Da'oma Hashto The Da'akei Yofa Samchin Leo Ma'amin Le. As at this point, since Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba stated that once I reminded, I actually was more medayek, and therefore I realized that this is actually the same woman that originally came and we wrote the Sheva for, therefore we believe his second Haggadah. Maisa, we learned this Gemara like the Rashbam, however other Rishonim have a difficulty with this Rashbam. L'chayr, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba never said Eidos, and he was just speaking either to his Talmidim or to the other witnesses. L'chayr, why would we even have a Hamina that this should go into the klal of Kivin Shehigad Shuvay Nechayzo Magid? And Ayin Tap Rashbam, who brings down Kivin Shehigad Nafgalom and Mesech Teshvuas Me'im LaYagid, and Ayin the other Rishonim that point out that it really isn't such a Gemara that we learned out from the words in Loyagid, and Ayin Ritva, who states that we learned out the din of Kivin Shigad Shumay Rechayzu Magid from the Pasuk that states, Al Pishnei Eidim Yakum Davar. And since the Torah uses the Lashon of Yakum, so it shows that once an Eid says something, it becomes established and it can't be changed. The Gemara continues that now that we just stated that a Tzur Barabonon is Lav Ochi Lamedek, so the Gemara continues with another story. Hahu Tavar Davar Chosum Le Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba. There was another receipt that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba signed on, and Amr, and then the this woman came to Beis Din and stated, Lava Nahavai, that it was not me, and I wasn't the one that asked you to sign on this receipt, and Amalah, but Rabbi Yehuda Abba responded, Ibra, I'm Tavos, that certainly it was you, and the Lashon of Ibra means that in truth it was you, who has the Aruch learned that this word should be read as Abra, which is Lashon of Bari, that I'm certain that it was you, and Amar Baya, Afagab the Tumra Abana, Lav Aruch Lemedek, Kivin the Dok Dok, that Abaya states that even though generally we state that the Tzurba Abana would not be Medayik in a woman, would not generally recognize her after seeing her only one time. However, the Maisa, once Rabbi Yehuda Abba stated that I actually recognize her and I was Medayik, then certainly we believe him. And in Tap Taisis, who's bothered that we just saw a story, although Rabbi Yehuda Abba originally said, I don't recognize her, and then he changed and he said, I do recognize her, that we still believe Rabbi Yehuda Abba. So certainly in this case, where Rabbi Yehuda Abba right away stated that I was Medayik and I recognize her, certainly we should say, Kivin and Dok Dok, and was the Chiddush of the story. And Zok Taisis in Taima, Hechid Om Mitchil, Lab Ihi, Om Ashiyoch Lachso, Koshkin, Shom Mitchil, Zoisi, the Neman, Afa Pishin, Dakel, and Stakelben, and Torah, Tzachikama, Kivin the Dok Dok, from Mertzel Lachso, Inach Hezo Magid. And the Chiddush of this member is that Inach Hanami, if after Rabbi Yehuda Abba stated that I don't really think that it's her, then he would not be able to be Chezo Magid, since he already said that I was Medayik, I in Shom. The Gemara continues, Om Abaya, Haitzum Rabbanon, the Ozl Kedusha Issa, Nidba, Amar Oriz Bahadei, Dilma Machlefo La Minei, since we stated that Tzor Rabbanon is Lav Ochi Lamedek, therefore when a Tzor Rabbanon goes and is Mekadosh a woman, he should make sure to take an Amar Oriz with him, as otherwise is a chashash that at a later point they'll switch his wife. Lemaisa, he won't recognize her, since he only saw her one time. However, an Amar Oriz is more Medayik, he will remember that that's not his wife. And of course, as the Gemara in Kedushin teaches us, that's Asal Kadosh is Isha Ashirena, and therefore certainly the Tzor Rabbanon has to look at his wife, but certainly he won't be mistaken in her, and he'll just make sure that he thinks that she's pretty enough, and then he could be Mekadosha. He won't necessarily recognize her, since he only saw her one time. The Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, the Baal Nois and Schar, when writing a get for his wife, the husband has to pay the Schar of the Sefer, and the Gemara asks, my timer, L'chir, since a get is a benefit for the wife, so L'chir, why does the husband have to pay? And the Gemara states, the Amakra, as this is based on a pasuk that states, V'chos v'nosan, the Duraisa is a chiyav for the husband to write the get, and therefore he has to pay his shliach, and he has to pay the sefer to write the get. The Gemara continues and asks, that L'chir, if he's telling us that this is a din Duraisa based on a pasuk of V'chos v'nosan, so the Gemara is bothered that nowadays the minig is that the wife actually pays for the get. L'chir, this seems to be a din Duraisa, how could it be that the woman will pay for the get, if L'chir, that should be a psul in the get? And the Gemara explains, and nowadays that the minig is that the woman pays for the get, that the Rabbanah made a takana that the woman should pay for the get in order to make sure that the husband actually gives a get, as if the woman would not pay for the get, even if a man wants to give a get, but he won't be rushed to actually go and get the get from the sefer, as at that point he'll have to pay the sefer, and therefore it'll take him a lot of time to arrange and finalize the get, and therefore the Rabbanah stated that a woman should pay for the get. In this way they'll be able to get the get much quicker, and the woman will be able to receive her get in a much quicker fashion. And she will remain aguna for a longer period of time. Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, that a sefer and edim can sign on a shtar for a borrower even though the lender is not there, and then the Mishnah stated that the leiva has to pay, and the Gemara asks, pshita, that l'chari it's pashat that the leiva has to pay, and the Gemara answers, leitzuicha b'iska, that in chenami, the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush, even in the case of an iska, we know that in order to avoid problems with ribis, we set it up as a chetzi milva, chetzi pekodin. So in that case, we may say that lemaisa is a benefit for the lender as well, as lemaisa is receiving profits. Maybe both the borrower and the lender should actually split the cost of the shtar, mashbalon, that the loiva still has to pay for the entire amount that the sefer charges them. In Rabbeinu Gershom, that ma'or tema hoil de malva noitel chetzi arevach yitin tzchal le sefer, kamashbalon de loi, el ha loiva yitin askiris hoil v'nena mimam in shalava. Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, and we stated that the lekeach has to pay for the shtar, and the Gemara asks, pshita, that certainly the buyer should have to pay for the sefer's work. Well, ma'isa, the lekeach is the one that's being nena, and the Gemara answers, that we're talking about a case that is actually a major benefit for the seller, because he has a reason to sell this field, and as Rashbam states, mum gadol shaba, as either there was a problem with the field, or it was far away from him, v'salkadai techamina, yitein Shein huschar kamashbu on the loy that nodi dehu that lemais it still the hano of the lekeach uchirchseva koin al yismach vamichal yisabel uchirami inchi zavanta kanisa. When someone buys something, then they acquire something zovin oibed, and someone that sells something, he always loses. In Yad Rama, that even though we stated that the buyer actually pays for the sefer, whoever zok the Yad Rama v'davka hecha the kasve b'shusa the tabayu, this is only if the sefer wrote it and he actually had permission from both of them. But if it's like the case of the Mishnah, when the Meich was the one who told the Sefer to write the Shtar, as is not Mashmois from our Mishnah. Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah in Kais Vishtari Isirin Vishtari Nesuyin El Midashneim, and then the Mishnah stated that the Chosin pays, and the Gemara is Pshita, the Lacharit Pashut, since the Chosin is the one that's acquiring the Isha, as we previously stated, the Lekech is always the one that pays for the Shtar, and the Gemara answers, Le Tzricha da Fidu Tzum Rabbanon, the Nichle El Chamu, the Kreve, even in a case where the Chosin is the Tzum Rabbanon, therefore it's a major benefit for his father-in-law in order to have him as a son-in-law, so maybe you would think that the father-in-law has to pay, Kamash Blon, that the Chosin side always pays. The Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah, in Kaysen Shtar Rises, Vikablonois, El Midashneim, Vamakabl Naisen Schar. Once again, the Gemara asks Pshita, the Lacharit Pashut, that the Oris or the Kablin should have to pay for the Schar of the Sefer, as certainly that's who's benefiting. And the Gemara answers, Leitzricha Bebura, that we're talking about a case where the first year is not a year that he'll actually be able to use the field, and he will leave it fallow, and therefore you would think that the major benefit at this point is not on the Oris or on the Kablin. Maybe the owner of the field should pay, Kamash Balon, that the Oris or the Kablin always pays for the Schar of the Sefer. Ein Rashbam Bebura, Shesarech Levir, Shonoi Shnustayim. This field is at the point of the cycle where it was normal to leave it fallow for a year or two, Bein Revach Atal Mekabal, and therefore at this point there won't be any profits to the Mekabal, Kamash Balon, that even so the Mekabal has to pay. Ein Rabbeinu Geshem, who states, Leitzricha Bebura, he explains, Besada Shaisabur Mizman Gadol, that this Sada was actually fallow for a very long time prior to this point. So Marotema Revach Tenaisenu, Shemesakin Sedeo Habe, for who Yitain. So you would think in this case, since there was already abandoned field for so long, and therefore it's actually going to benefit the owner of the field that much more, so maybe he would actually have to pay for the Schar of the Sefer, Kamash Blon, that even in this case, the Mekabal has to pay for the Schar of the Sefer. The Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, and Kaisen Shtari Beruin, Vechol Maisa Bezin, El Midashneim, Ushneim Nesin Schar. The Gemara asks, My Shtari Beruin, what is the Mishnah referring to when it speaks about Shtari Beruin? And the Gemara brings down two different examples, Hocha Tigimu, then above all, they were Metagim, Shtari Tanasa, that's talking about the Tainos, and each one of the litigants stayed in court. It used to be a stenographer that would take notes and would write down exactly what the Tainos were in order to make sure that neither one of them went against the original Taino. We know that each Baldin can't be Toyin v'chayz of a Toyin. Maisa, they would keep a record of exactly what their Tainos were, and the Rashbam states, Val pi oisin Tainos, paiskin adirin amazinam, and then the Ayonim would actually read their Tainos, and they would be able to pass an adin based on what was said in court. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yirmi Ba'abama, however, Rabbi Yirmi Ba'abama explains, Zabar le'echad v'zabar le'echad, Shtari Beruin is referring to Zabla. As we know, you could have two litigants that come to Bezdin, and each one of them could pick their own Dayan, and then either the two Dayanim pick a third Dayan, or both of the litigants pick the third Dayan. As Rashbam states, Vav Kaisim Bishtar, Plaini Birloi Dayan Plaini, or Plaini Birloi as Plaini, and they would write into the Shtar which one of them picked which Dayan, Ayin Shom. Gemara continues that the Tanakhama stated, Ushneim Nesin Schar, meaning that there wasn't one document that was written, and both of them have to pay for the Schar of the Sefer. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel argued on Tanakhama. He stated, Shneim Kaisim Shnayim, Luzela Atzmai, Luzela Atzmai. Both of the Edim write two separate stories, one for each of the litigants. Let's remember that Rashbam in the Mishnah stated that this machlekes is relevant to Shtari Beruin. Our Gemara now states, Lema b'kayfen on midas stayim kamifli. Let us say the machlekes between Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel is if we could be kayfen on midas stayim. As Rashbam points out from the Mishnah Masechtas Avos, Na'ima shali shali shalcha shalcha zumi debenis v'yesh oimim zumi midas stayim. Therefore, the Gemara explains the mass of a kayfen. The Tanakhama hold that we are kayfen on midas stayim and mass of in kayfen. And Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that in this case we would not be kayfen on midas stayim. As Rashbam explains, Lema Tanakhama sova shneim nesin schar kayfen shtar echad bein shneim. And let us say the Tanakhama hold that since we're kayfen on midas stayim, therefore we require both of the litigants to actually pay for the safest time, share one document. And if one of the litigants said that I don't want to pay together with you, as I want to pay separately, and I want to have my own star, however, Shimon Gamliel sava in kaifin, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds in kaifin al midistayim, and therefore one litigant could say to the other, I want my own document. That litigant could decide to pay the sefer for his own document and not share it with the other litigant. But the Gemara continues, loy the kuli alma kaifin. Certainly, even Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that in a standard case, where there's a midistayim, then certainly there would be a din of kaifin al midistayim. The hachai in the time of Rav Shimon Gamliel, the reason why Rav Shimon Gamliel states that in our Mishnah, one litigant could decide that he doesn't want to share this document, and therefore each litigant would have to pay the sefer for their own document, is specifically the amalei le'nichali that have ischusech gabischusi domes alai ki ari arva lemaisa. This is not something which is parv, as certainly I could have a loss by actually sharing one document with you, as since both of our tainus will be written in the same document, potentially you will learn what my tainus are. You will base your litigation strategy based on my tainus. I completely don't trust you. I look at you as if you're a lion that's waiting to capture its prey. And the Rashbam states, "Loi the kul de al makayfin v'taym de Rav Shimon shem de kasava in zumi destayim shvei chasu habe bedava imichdu shtar echad l'shteim." Amal loi nichali that have ischusi b'shtar echad atzil schuseich the domis lai ka'ari arva kol shosh etir aksav tavei lai belidz tanisecha ksuvim boy v'sham tayir tanasai novelu de meriva ki ish meriva sata ayin sham. We continue with the new Mishnah. Mishapar mixas chayvoy if Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, Shimon makes a partial payment and he pays $500 back to Reuven, and Lemaisa at this point, Shimon doesn't want to let Reuven keep the shtar in his hands. He's concerned that at some point Reuven could come and claim that Shimon still owes him $1,000, and Reuven certainly doesn't want to give the shtar back to Shimon, as certainly Shimon could claim that he already paid all $1,000. Lemaisa, they really could have wrote a receipt that stated that Shimon paid back $500. However, as Rashbam states, that Lemaisa was a ticher for them to go and write a receipt. Therefore, the Hishal Shashtari, and they decided together to go and give the shtar to a third party that both of them trusted. For example, they made Levi, the escrow agent, hold on to the shtar. The Amaloi and Shimon was so certain that he was going to pay back the $500. So Shimon said to Levi, if I don't pay back the other $500 to Reuven within a certain amount of time, then you should return the shtar to Reuven, and Reuven will then be able to collect the full $1,000 for me, and I will consider that the first $500 that I gave to Reuven was considered a matana. The Mishnah used a lashon in loy etan lecha. Shimon said to Levi that I'm going to actually give you the $500 and you'll actually be the escrow agent for the $500 as well, and once I give you the $500, you'll give that back to Reuven. Maisa, the Mishnah continues, Hagiyas man v'loy noson, if that day passes and Shimon did not yet pay the last $500 to Reuven, Rabbi Yisi Amar Yitain, Rabbi Yisi states Levi should give the shtar back to Reuven, as Lemaisa that was what Shimon said. However, Rabbi Huda says that Levi cannot return the shtar to Reuven. Gemara will explain the machlekes between Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Huda is based on a machlekes if asmachta is kanyo, asmachta loy kanyo. Lemaisa, the case of our Mishnah is a case of asmachta, as Lemaisa, when Shimon said to Levi that I will pay Reuven back within a certain time frame, then certainly Shimon really thought that he would be able to pay him back within that time frame, and the only reason why he said these words is only because he was so certain that he would pay him back. But Lemaisa, if he would have really known that he wouldn't have been able to pay him back, that he wouldn't have said this. This is an asmachta. The Gemara explains, but mythically, what is the basis for the machlekes between Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yisi sava asmachta kanya. Since Rabbi Yisi holds in general asmachta is kanya, therefore, when Shimon said to Levi that he should give the shtar back to Reuven, even though it was based on asmachta, but lemaisa his words mean something, and therefore Levi has to give the shtar to Reuven. Rabbi Yehuda sava asmachta loy kanya. Rabbi Yehuda holds that asmachta is loy kanya, and therefore Levi has no right to give the shtar back to Reuven, as Lemaisa, Shimon's word did not mean anything. Gemara continues, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Bavua, Amrav, Halacha Rabbi Yisi, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yisi, as the standard is that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yisi as Nemukre Imai, and therefore we would paskin that Asmachta Kanya. However, Ayin Tesis, that's Gurus, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yisi, Ayin Shom, and he also came to Rabbi Ami, and when he came in front of Rabbi Ami, Amalahu, he said to them, V'chimeachash Rabbi Yechim, Amdeinu, Pami Shoyin V'shni, Halacha Rabbi Yisi, that since we already know that Rabbi Yechim taught us multiple times that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yisi, that Asmachta Kanya, Anima Eso, what should I do? As although I feel that Halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda, that Asmachta is like Kanya, but the Maisa, my Rebbe Rabbi Yechim, paskin like Rabbi Yisi that asmach the kanyo, and therefore I paskin that asmach the kanyo. However, the Gemara tells us for in halach Rabbi Yisi that lemaisa we don't hold like Rabbi Yisi, and even though generally in imukra imai, but here we hold that asmach the kanyo. I in the Rashbam ki osl kamei Rab Ami dina asmachta that when they came in front of Rab Ami and they were discussing the dinim of asmachta, and I in the Rashbam right before the Mishnah and the Rashbam states that asmachta le kanyo elvim came konum imay bezin chashuv would lay honest could am sechus dorim, and even though we pass in asmachta le kanyo, however certainly if you make a kinyan and you do so in a bezin chashuv, then it would be kinyo I in sham. Continue with the new Mishnah mishnim chak shtar chayvoi. Reuven had a shtar chayv that stated that Shimon owes him $1,000, and that shtar chayv was erased. Either the letters were scraped off or water got onto the document and it washed away the letters. The Mishnah comes to tell us that there still is an Eitzah. Reuven could potentially still collect based on the shtar as Maimon of Edim, as if Reuven has witnesses that know exactly what it stated in the shtar, as Rashbam states, and they know what was written in the shtar, as well as the date of the shtar, as well as the amount of money that Shimon owes to Reuven. Balofnei Bezin, and these new witnesses will come to Bezin, and the witnesses will actually write up a new document and a new shtar for Reuven, and they will write, Ish Pliny ben Pliny Nimchak Shtari, that Reuven's document was erased, Beyon Pliny, and the original document was dated on the following date. The Mishnah continues, and Daf Kuf Samach Chesam Beis, U Pliny Pliny Edov, aside from writing all of the other details of the shtar, they also write that the following two people were the original Edim that signed and executed the shtar. This is the way the Rashbam learns our Mishnah, and I in the bottom Rashbam on Daf Kuf Samach Chesam Aleph, Nimchak Shtari, Shay Kosab Beyon Pliny, U Pliny Pliny, Hu Edim Shay Chesumim Boy, calls that Chesman Eloh Mekayimin, Ba'achaka Chesman Eshmeisim Besayif, then these two new witnesses, they would sign at the bottom of this document, as we will see in the Gemara, Bezin will then verify the shtar. Our Gemara now begins, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, that we just learned in our Mishnah, that new Edim will actually write up a new document, and the Braisa states, Ezu Kiyumai, that once this document was written by these Edim, so at this point, how would Bezin go and verify and certify the shtar? Braisa teaches us that Bezin would write, B'maisiv Tlasa Avina, that we were sitting with three of us, and we were a Bezin, Anu Plenu, 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 and they mention all three Dayanim, Haitzi Plenu Ben Plenu, Shtar Machak Lufanenu, and Plenu Ben Plenu brought out a shtar that was erased, B'yayim Plenu, the Edim already wrote in this new shtar, that the original shtar was dated on a specific date, and these were the Edim. The Braisa continues, Vim Kasabai, and if Bezin writes into the shtar, Huskakan Le'edusin Shel Edim, we actually were able to receive testimony from the original Edim that signed on the original shtar, and we saw that the edus was appropriate, and therefore we were able to verify that the original shtar was valid and it wasn't a forgery. And goiva ve'inu tzarach lavi raya, then you could use the shtar as if it was the original shtar, and you could even be goiva from the nechasim of the borrower from the original date of the original shtar, and you don't have to bring any further rayas. However, bin lav tzarach lavi raya, if we can't verify that original witnesses actually were telling the truth, then even if we know that these were the original signatures, that would not be enough, and you still have to bring other rayas that it was a valid shtar. Ein Rashbam vim lav tzorach lavi araya cheres alzman v'aschom amoyis v'alchom asher yikos b'shtar. The Braisa continues, nikra pasol, that if you have a shtar that was ripped intentionally, then the shtar would be pasol. However, niskara kosher, if we could tell that the rip was done by mistake and by accident, then it would be kosher. Rashbam explains, nikra lidei odom, that clearly was done by a person and with intent. Niskara is me'atzmai. Rabbeinu Gershom explains that when you see that a shtar was nikra b'kavono, kidim farish l'kamon, then it's pasul. The mashpah shachem karu shematz by doifi a perua haya, that's muchach that it must have been ripped by someone else because they found a problem with the shtar or it was already paid off. The Braisa continues, nimchak in the tashdeish im reshumi nikra kosher. The Yad Rama explains, nimchak shenitla adyoy min aniyar, the ink was erased from the paper machmas zeis yad hamishtameshes boy the dark limchak hasadyoy, and this is based on people handling the document. Therefore, the ink was wiped off. Similarly, in the Tashtei shepasad yoy b'dinyar, the ink ran on the paper ve'in tzuras ha'isis nikaras el shepam mishu rishumei shal isis nikar michlal mokim apisyon shesviv v'seyan. Therefore, in rishumei nikar, it would be kosher as l'maisa you're able to tell what the original document stated. The Gemara now continues, hechi dami nikra, hechi dami niskara. How could we know if a document was ripped on its own or if it was ripped intentionally? And the Gemara states, Amar Bihuda, nikra kara shel bezdin, niskara kara she'inu shel bezdin. Bezdin. Nikra refers to a ripping that was done by Bezdin, and Niskar is referring to a ripping that was not done by Bezdin. And the Gemara now is Hechidami Karshal Bezdin or Rabbi Huda Mokum Edom or Mokum Azban or Mokum Aterv. And Rabbi Huda explains that's where the Mokum of the Edom or the Mokum of the Zman or the Mokum Aterv were ripped out, even though generally the word Tarif refers to all the major details of the Shtar, and for example, the Zman as well as the amount of money, as well as other important details. However, Zokter Rabbeinu Geshem and Mokum Aterv, Ksivas HaMomen, Lachi Kari Tarif, Shabai Tarif, Lakuchais, and the reason why it's called the Mokum Aterv, because by having the Shtar, you're able to collect that amount of money from the Lakuchais. We explained the words of Rabbi Huda that as long as one of these areas were ripped out, and that would show that it was done intentionally, and other Rishonim explained that it has to be that all of these areas were ripped out, and it was only one of these three areas that would not suffice, and would not show that it was ripped out intentionally. And the Gemara continues, Abayama, and Abaya brings another way that we could tell if a shtar was ripped intentionally. That is, if the shtar was ripped, Shasiv Arev, that it was ripped horizontally and vertically, we could tell that it was done intentionally and be kavono. The Gemara continues, Hanu Avoy, the Oslo Pumpadisa, that there were Arabs that came to Pumpadisa. And Rabbeinu Geshem explains, Hanu Avoy, Yishpa Elim, they were Arabs, Shahi Messiah Lamela, Kishahoya Halach Lamachama, and they would help the king when they went out to war, Vayurgil Akiv Imad Bamachusai, and they would stay over in the kingdom Zman Gadol, Vashuv Chazum Kaiman, and then they would go back to the original place, Ubo Imo Lupupadisa, Venosal Hem, Vishus, La'anis Kakreshul Bnei Adam. They came with the king to Pumpadisa, and the king gave them permission to go and take kaka from other people, Esav of Ear, She Spansu Mahem, Koyim Moy Shehin Sham, and this way they'll have Panasa all the time that they're with the king and in this area in order to help the king. And the Gemara tells us that Ka'ansi Aratad Inchi, and they went and they forced people to give up their lands, and not only did they force them to give them the lands, but they also took their original deeds from them, and this way these people were not able to be Ma'ara and say that this was originally their land. So the people that owned this land came to Abaya before these people took away their sadais, before they forced them to give up their deeds. And they said to Abaya, let us show you our deeds. You should write another shtar in place of this shtar, and this way we'll have two deeds, the misnischad, nektin chad biyodon, and even if they take away one of our deeds, they won't realize that we have a duplicate deed. In this way, at least we will have one deed. And as Rashbam states, it was man rubo, and at a later point in tiyah deno tekifa, and if we get stronger in the ara sadesenu, then we'll be ma'ara on our original sades, and then we'll be able to get these sades back from anyone that purchased these sades from the Arabs. The Gemara tells us, Omalhu, that Abaya said to them, my Abed Luchu, that although you have a valid Eitzah, and this Luchayr would help you, but on my side can't help you. The Omer Rav Safra, as we will see in Daf Kuf Samach Tes, the Rav Safra taught us, in Kaisen Shtei Shtaris Al Sadaches, that you can't write two deeds relevant to one Sada. The reason is, Dilma Tarif or Hadda Tarif, as we're concerned, that since people used to write a deed with a guarantee, for example, when Reuven would sell a Sada to Shimon, so Reuven would write into the Shtar, if I owe money to Levi, and at later point, Levi comes and takes away the Sada from you, as Lemaisa, there's a lien on the Sada, and I guarantee that I'll pay you back the money that you paid for this field. We know that if Levi actually takes this field away from Shimon, and then Reuven doesn't have money, then any Sada that Reuven sold from after he sold this field to Shimon is Meshubit to Shimon, and Shimon could go and collect that Sada. And for example, if Reuven sold another field to Yehuda after he sold this original field to Shimon, then Shimon will be able to go and take this field away from Yehuda. And therefore, the Rabbanim were concerned if Shimon will be allowed to have a duplicate deed, then there's a potential that Levi will take away the Sada from Shimon, and then Shimon will go over to Yehuda, be tired of his Sada based on his deed. Shimon will give one of these deeds to Yehuda, and then Shimon will go over to Yisachar, who also bought a field from Reuven, and he'll be tired of that field from Yisachar. He will be able to do so based on the fact that he still has a duplicate deed, and he'll give that duplicate deed to Yisachar. Because of this concern, therefore Abaya wouldn't write them a duplicate deed. Avakar Tardilei, but the Maisa, they were pressuring Abaya. Omalei l'safrei, Abaya said to his Sefer, Zilk Seivluhu, that you could go and write to them, Hu al mechak va'edav al niyar de pasol, and you should do so in a way that the shtar will be pasol, and before you write the shtar for them, make sure to write a previous shtar for them, and then you'll erase that, and then you'll go and write on top of that a new shtar. Then you'll have a second shtar that's written on a pre-erased piece of parchment, and the Edom will be on a new piece of parchment. We previously learned that such a shtar is puzzle, and this way that when they come to collect with the second deed, everyone will realize that this deed is puzzle and it's not valid. Ayin Rashbam, Omel Vusafri, Zilk Seiv Lushtar, Umachakoisai, Vacha Kosov Alamachak, Veidim Yachtim Wal Niyar, Veidlo Yidin Lev, Shu Puzzle, Vipotimhem, and this way I'll be potted from them, they won't continue to bother me. And Omel Rav Achaba Menumi Labaya, and Rav Achaba Menumi said to Abaya, Vidum Rushumanika, but Amaisa, if you're going to tell them to write a valid shtar on the bottom and then erase that shtar, but potentially you'll still be able to see the words of that bottom shtar, Vitanya, we learned, Nimchak and Tashdesh in Rushumanika Kosher, and therefore the shtar would still be Kosher, and Lachaya, it will be a second deed. You just taught us that the name of Safra, Ein Kaisim Shtay Shtaris, Asada Achas, Amalei, and Abaya responded, Mikamina Shtar Malya, that who said that you should actually make a valid shtar on the bottom level, Al-Fiz Ba'alma Kamina, I just stated that you should write a bunch of letters in the bottom layer, and then you should erase that, and this way it won't be a brand new piece of parchment, and it will already be erased. Then you'll write a deed on the top level of this piece of paper, and Lemaisa it'll be Hu'al Mechak Ve'idov Al-Niyar, which is puzzle, and this way they will stop bothering me. As Rashbam states, Al-Fiz Ba'alma Kamina, Dvarim B'Telim Ma'ati Lichtav Limchoik, Ayin Shom, Ayin Rashbam, Diva Maschel, Omele Rav Achaba Menumi La'Bayo, the Nero Lid, Rav Achaba Menumi, Habasal Kedaite, the Hochi Oma Abaya Lusafri, the Nichtlu Shtar Malyo, they first should write on the bottom level an actual shtar, the Hodin Nimchoke, and then erase that Dal Shtar, the Hodin Nichtave Al Machak, and then write another deed on top of that, the Nichtam Musadi Al Niyor, but the Edom should be written on the original piece of parchment and on a brand new part of the parchment, the Hochi Kashle, and therefore, Rav Achaba Menumi. And we will stop over here.